All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. And joining me today from the softball team, freshman shortstop, Alexis Duke. So, Alexis, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I know it's exciting. This is the 50th episode of this podcast. So, so I think that's a pretty big milestone. You know, I was going to share a little bit before we kick off the, you know, a little bit of story behind, you know, how the podcast kind of started and where we are at. And, you know, I was thinking like at the end of the day, at the end of the year, if I got like through 10, like that was going to be a super successful year. And we've kind of blown that out of the water. But really, you know, big thanks to, you know, student athletes like yourself, you know, the softball team, the baseball team, football team, you know, both basketball teams, heck, the esports team, the wrestling team we've had on here. So, you know, everybody's been great. You know, athletes, the parents, the coaches, they've all, you know, kind of backed it up, and selfishly, it's been a ton of fun for me. You know, it's kind of this like additional hobby to all the other things I do with Vikings, athletics. So again, 50, that's awesome. And certainly looking for, you know, for anybody who's maybe watching a sponsor for next year to help pay for some of these costs. So, let's kick things off because, you know, as I was prepping for, you know, today's kind of conversation, it's like, you know, the Vikings are, you know, sitting atop the CCIW, you know, and we, and kind of when we go back to the preseason coaches poll to where the Vikings are at right now, you mean, you know, top of the conference, you know, tied with Carthage at 4-2, but best overall record at 15-3. Like, just how exciting is it for the team to just to see so much success, you know, early on?
I think it's really exciting. I think that we really made a point in those first four games in Peoria at the beginning of the season. And that just kind of put like a big pivot on like how we're going to do the season and how like we think that we can improve.
Just really kind of set the tone, right? And I mean, yeah, you know, it's like, as I think about, you know, I focus so much of these interviews this year on seniors and juniors, you know, because I've had a chance to, you know, see a majority of their career. You know, the last, you know, 5 or 6 years I've, you know, been broadcasting baseball and football and, you know, seeing their, the other sports. It's like, I'm talking with you and Elena Diaz, you know, first year with the team, kind of the new kids on the block, but from like your perspective as an incoming freshman, I mean, what's been some of the keys, you know, to the success so far, kind of from, you know, kind of a fresh set of eyes?
Yeah, so I've played with Coach John before, so I kind of know like what his expectations are and kind of what to do. But also like during the fall, I was able to learn from some of the older girls and just being able to like learn from them and be able to play with them as well.
Like, what were some of the things that, you know, was that you kind of picked up or, you know, they were, you know, some of that like tribal knowledge that, you know, they were kind of imposing on you?
I think the energy is just like being positive, being like really energized has really been like a big thing that they've taught me, and just like always being upbeat and just not being down on myself when something doesn't go right.
Has that been kind of the hardest thing? I mean, coming in or maybe one of the hardest things coming in as a freshman, you know, as you see, you know, the upperclassmen, the rest of your team, like, do you feel like there's a different set of expectations or weight, you know, because you are a freshman? I mean, has that ever kind of weighed in on it, or talk to me just a little bit more about that?
I think at the beginning it was a little intimidating, but all the girls are so welcoming, and honestly after like the first day it was like it was no pressure at all. All the girls are just so nice. They just so welcoming. They're able to help and just always there for each other.
What, was there anybody like in particular that, you know, you kind of really like locked arms with, And they kind of took you under their wing, you know, to a certain extent, you know, kind of early on, whether it was in the fall or, you know, as you've really kind of kicked off the season.
I think I was really close with Marley Beam and Emma Evans. I did my recruit overnight visit with them before I came, so I already like really knew them, and they were just so welcoming when I came this fall.
Well, I mean, they're just two awesome people. So it's like, you know, easiest people to get along with, super outgoing. So, yeah. So, I mean, you know, when you did your overnight, like, did you walk away with that knowing like, this is exactly where I wanted to be? Like, did you get that kind of sense and feeling right away? Or when did it kind of hit you? Like, this is where I wanted to be.
Yeah, I think that night was definitely like the night that like I really wanted to be here, just because like the team atmosphere, like they all got along, they all were like really close friends, all had jokes with each other. So that's definitely something I was looking for when I was looking for a team to play for.
Yeah. Then, you know, when you know, because you and Elena you know, had played on the Havoc together, was there anybody else on the team that you had either, you know, played with or competed with?
Not that I can think of, no.
Okay.
Oh, I played against Mackenzie Stant in high school, actually.
Okay. Yeah, that's, I mean, how do you think about that top four lineup where she's at? It's like, there's some beasts there.
Yeah.
And that's another big name. Now, I mean, you know, as I was looking at the schedule, I mean, it you know, it's like, God, it feels like it's, in one sense, it feels like it's been a long season, but, you know, just mm-hmm. feels like just lately, you know, there's been a lot of doubleheaders, you know, from Florida to Tennessee, you know, all the way up, you know, to some home games here recently. And I mean, but it's like, man, you're just kicking off, you know, conference play. And there's 22 games still left in the season, like 11 doubleheaders. That's ridiculous. You know, how has this first year, you know, been compared to maybe like what expectations you had coming into this season, just your first year, you know, in collegiate ball?
Yeah, I think it's really been hectic, but I think I'm just taking it one game at a time, not trying to think about the future or the past, just trying to play in that game. So just like being in the present and not thinking too far ahead.
Has there been anything, you know, that you had maybe thought about as like you were kind of expecting, you know, something as you were coming into your first year, that you either had like an aha moment that was just, it was completely different than maybe what you were anticipating, like anything like that that kind of comes to mind as you were entering your first year and kind of kicking the season off?
I think definitely just like the schedule, it just kind of like really like hits you. Like I wasn't really expecting like that much in April, but honestly, it's fun. When you're having fun, it just goes by super quick. And honestly, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the schedule, like how hard has it been or has it been hard? I don't know. You know, managing your freshman year academic load with all the games, all the travel, has that been a little bit of a culture shock that you've had to like adjust to, or how's that been?
Yeah, it's definitely an adjustment I've had to make. I feel like definitely our schedule keeps like getting changed too, which kind of messes with that. But when we have long bus rides, we're always like doing our homework on the bus and just like making time whenever.
Yeah. I mean, you really have to. I mean, you know, my first year I played football and it's like, that was enough of a schedule. You know, when we first started and you were there a few weeks before, you know, school kicked off, but I couldn't imagine just the length of the baseball schedule plus all the doubleheaders. I mean, and you're constantly going plus practice. Like I got to hand it to you that's a lot to deal with. You know, but as you think about like some critical skills, like coming out of it as you know, after you graduate and kind of enter, you know, the, you know, your career, it's like, God, the ability to like multitask and juggle a crazy schedule should be like, oh, this is easy. This is nothing compared to what you guys have to manage. So, let's talk about the Wheaton game. Cause, I mean, those games you won like handedly, and you had probably one of the biggest days so far, you know, in your, you know, your early career here. I mean, like game one, 3 for 5, 3 RBIs, 2 run, all three of those hits were doubles. Game two, you were 2 for 3, a run and 2 runs. Like, talk to me just about like that doubleheader. What were your thoughts on that?
We went into it because we knew it wasn't going to be easy because they had also split with Carthage. And I think their pitcher had gotten CCIW Pitcher of the Week that week or the week before. So we had to go in it with an open mind and not just look past them and just go in it good with it, like full force. And after that first game, we just couldn't like look past them anymore because we knew that we were going to open a bee's nest and just had to play our game and not stoop down.
Yeah. What, how was the field? Cause I know, you know, you had to move the Carthage game, because of field conditions. And, you know, as I was watching the game, I wasn't quite sure, like it looked super choppy. Like, I don't know how was the infield? It was hard to kind of tell from.
Yeah, it was a little hard, but there was a little like sprinkle that started at the end of game one and kind of went into game two, which softened it up a little bit. So, but it wasn't too bad.
No.
No.
I mean, you know, so thinking about like you at, you know, at shortstop, does that ever like come into mind when you're thinking about like the infield conditions, especially when you're playing on a dirt infield versus like, you know, like a Milliken where it's all, you know, all like field turf or something. Does that maybe adjust how you set up and maybe how you play the ball? Like you're either going to be, you know, maybe not be as aggressive, you know, if the conditions aren't, you know, I was thinking about like playing in like T-ball field or not T-ball fields, but, you know, little league, you know, fields kind of growing up, and it's like sometimes that they can be, you know, a little bit rough, and it feels like, you know, on the baseball team, they're constantly dragging, you know, the field and doing a bunch of different stuff. So as I saw that, I was like, God, I wonder how that infield was coming out of, you know, all the rain and stuff we had last week. And, but does it ever adjust maybe how you play or how the infield plays at all?
Yeah, sometimes it's because, like, when you're on a turf field, it kind of moves a lot faster. So, I mean, you can play a little bit farther back. But on dirt, I mean, it kind of just depends. Our infield, the ball kind of does move faster ever since it got dug up. But, yeah, just honestly just playing wherever, just playing what the speed is at the person at the plate. And, I mean, honestly just try to smooth it out if there's, like, holes or whatever. Just, like, avoid the bad hops.
Yeah. You know, I was looking at some of these like national rankings. I'm always looking at Massey ratings kind of, you know, after you've played a doubleheader, I'll go look at the next game and, you know, looking at things like, obviously the record, the strength of schedule, kind of where that formula, it moves just day in, day out, and kind of where it's, you know, it's placed the team. And but I look at some of these stats and I'm like, the team is 12th in scoring in the country, and that's of 396 ranked teams. Like, that's stupid. 17th in on-base percentage, 16th in RBIs, 24th in batting average. Like, I mean, how would you describe or like characterize like the Vikings like approach at the plate? Is it more focus on like power, extra base hits? Is it kind of more like small ball, or are you just primarily looking for like hard contact and you're trying to, you know, drive it to be like certain areas of the field? Like, how would you kind of describe how you guys approach it at the plate?
Yeah, we definitely have to go with a good approach. Like, not like we have to find our pitch and not swing out of the zone because we don't want to help the pitcher. Definitely when we have like runners on, we're trying to move them in any way that we can. So just like We're like trying not to hit pop-ups, of course, and just trying to just hit like solid line drives and up the middle any way we can to score runs.
Yeah. Now, as you look at like all the phases of the Vikings game, it's like hitting, pitching, fielding, you know, hitting and pitching, you know, it's like, you know, it's like Augie, Carthage, and Wesley, and then it's like everybody else. And what do you feel like is, you know, the strength of, you know, of this Vikings team, or do you feel like you're pretty well balanced across kind of all three?
I think that we're pretty well balanced across all three. I think that we're all just like, we practice all of them all the time. So we're all just supportive of each other, always picking each other up, which helps like, or help with confidence in all three areas.
How does, you know, how do your practices look? Because, you know, as I think a little bit about like the baseball team, for example, they, you know, they practice, you know, a lot of like situational hitting, you know, a lot of like, you know, small ball type strategies. What does it look like, you know, when the softball team is practicing, like, how do you set up scenarios or what type of scenarios do you, you know, does the team kind of work through?
Usually like when we do like full team, we'll have everyone out there. Sometimes we'll have runners and just putting runners in different situations of like first and third, throwing four on a ground ball to the outfield, on a pop fly to the outfield, just all those kinds of situations of what may happen.
Yeah. Now, you know, I was also looking at like, some of your individual stats and, you know, you're primarily in the leadoff spot and it's like, again, these numbers are ridiculous. I mean, 11 of 21 in the leadoff spot, you're hitting 524, in that leadoff spot, 615 on base, an 857 slug. You have one leadoff home run. Like, what do you think it takes to be so successful in that leadoff spot?
I think definitely just having confidence in myself and just learning from my past at-bats. Because, I mean, honestly, I go up there and I'm not the first one that has to go up against her. So just learning from that and relaying off to my teammates on what she's going to do and just learning from that and doing better in my next at-bat.
Yeah. What do you think is like the most challenging about hitting like in that leadoff spot?
I think definitely sometimes if it's like definitely at like beginning of the game, just kind of like if you had to like watch the first pitch, you just kind of down and you just have to like come back and you don't really know what her sequence is going to be either. So learning that is definitely kind of difficult, but you kind of learn from it.
Yeah. Have you always kind of batted in that leadoff spot or where have you kind of traditionally been, like whether it was if travel ball or like Riverdale?
High school, I went between like leadoff and hitting third. It kind of depended. But initially I'd hit either leadoff or second or third, somewhere in between there.
Yeah. Thing about it, a lot of times I'll find is like, you know, if we look through, you know, our Vikings players, most of the time they're hitting three and four, you know, on their team. They're usually, you know, the best or one of the best hitters, you know, on their team. So, you know, as they come and they've got a, you know, it's like, well, we've got nine spots, we've got to fill. So where do, you know, where are you going to kind of fit and how does that change like the approach to the game? You know, some of the strengths and things like that, like, you know, how it just kind of it makes an adjustment. You know, I was always kind of curious on that. Is there anything that you've kind of noticed that's been different about hitting leadoff in college versus, you know, in high school or travel ball that, you know, that just seems a little bit, you know, like different, or do you approach it at all any different?
Yeah, I have to go in like with an approach cause I like to just jump ahead and I try to get like a hit in the first like part of the count, but it's kind of hard just because like you just want to see the pitches, see what she's going to throw you. So just kind of like learning from that.
Yeah. We don't have any, like, I don't want to give a curse here, but you don't have any strikeouts this year. So, like, that's ridiculous. And, you know, when I think about that, it's like, you know, how do you maintain, like, the discipline to not chase balls outside the zone? And, you know, some of those things where it's like, you know, you're trying to do too much versus kind of going in and doing what, you know, you're supposed to do, right? You know, that leadoff role, you're supposed to get on base, and you do it very well. You know, so like, how do you maintain just like the plate discipline, and, you know, how'd you kind of develop that, you know, over, you know, the last kind of 4 or 5 years or your career?
Yeah, definitely. Just like when I get behind an account, I just try to put the ball in play, especially if there's runners on, just try to hit it hard somewhere on the ground, preferably just to move a runner so that it will benefit the team.
Yeah. Now, how did you ultimately settle on shortstop growing up? Was that something that you started playing early on, or did you start to transition to that role at some point?
I like always played middle infield because my older brother did. So kind of just learned from him playing that position and just decided to just play there with him, I guess.
See, I was a shortstop, and I have no idea why I got placed there. I just did. I think probably because I wasn't scared to be aggressive, and I rarely ever let anything come by me. And, it's like, I give credit to anybody who plays shortstop. Like, you know, you got a lot to think about. You know, what is it that you enjoy so much about the shortstop position?
I just like the challenge of it. I always like diving either way. I think that's just fun. And just like having a voice and just being able to be everywhere all the time.
Now, what role, I mean, does the shortstop play, you know, on this infield? Is it kind of like the quarterback, that it's like, you know, helping to determine like shifts and where people set up, or how does your role kind of play into that communication? You're talking about, you know, having a voice. Where does your role, you know, kind of play with, you know, how the team's approaching the infield, you know, shifts and setups?
Yeah, just being able to like let everyone know like what we're doing if the ball is hit anywhere on the field. I think everyone in the infield also just does a great job of just talking and being loud. So I think all of us definitely have a voice on that, but just communicating with each other on what we do if a ball is hit in a certain situation.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to switch a little bit, because I was couple of things I love is, like, you know, coming up to game day, the softball team does, I call them like the player profiles, but, you know, it's like your hometown, your major, you know, role model, favorite emojis, you know, all that stuff. So I want to talk through some of that, because, you know, you put your role model as your older brother. So tell me a little bit about why you chose your older brother.
So we're about 3 years apart. So he's currently playing at Rockford University. So just growing up, he started baseball, so we'd always be at his games and everything. So that kind of just made me want to start to join like softball and play that. So we'd always be outside like practicing. So he really helped me like develop as a player. And also he is a middle infielder. So just kind of learning from him. Sometimes it'd end in a fight, but, you know, but just learning from him was just fun.
All right, now, I mean, between you and me, and, you know, potentially anybody who's ever going to be watching this, like, who's the better player, you or him?
He's probably the better fielder, but I'm definitely the better hitter.
All right, that's fair. Now, you know, on the, you know, if you go and you look at the roster, it says your major is undecided, but I saw on that kind of player profile, it said kinesiology. So did you land on kinesiology then?
I'm kind of like 50-50. I'm thinking about doing kinesiology, but I'm not like 100% sure on like what I'd like to do as a career with it, but just kind of interested in doing it.
Yeah. Well, that's a great program that, you know, Augie has, especially with the new, the new building they, you know, had erected. And when I saw that, I was like, you know, that has been a pretty strong degree for athletes across all the sports. Obviously no surprise. So, now what was your path, to Augie, and like, how did you ultimately kind of decide, you know, from Port Byron and you were going to land at Augie?
So I initially was getting recruited by Carl, who was the previous coach, but I initially was like, I did not want to go to Augie just because I thought it was too close to home. But when Coach John got the position, he had a major impact in me choosing here just because I'd played with him before. And I just I really liked him as a coach, and I just rethought about the school, and I'm really happy I chose it now.
You know, it's funny that like, and I hear this a lot, especially folks that are kind of in the area. I mean, I was the same way. Like I lived 30 minutes away. You know, I was on the Iowa side, so I could claim I went out of state for college. Even though it was like, you know, my parents worked 5 minutes from, you know, from Augustana, you know, is like, you know, initially you're thinking about, oh, I want to go away to college, right? I want to go away to like a bigger school. Some of those things. But I think what people really find is once they've hit campus, kind of the outside world kind of closes off to some degree. And they always talk about the Augie bubble, and it's true. You know, once you're in it, like you just kind of feel like you're in this own little individual community, and you kind of forget where you're at. You know, one, which is really cool and unique. But two, I think, you know, just how welcoming the school is and everybody that's there as well. And I mean, you know, now that you were like, well, I wasn't quite sure, now you're glad you were, you know, that you did come here. Like, have you kind of felt that, like, all those, you know, maybe perceptions you had coming in were like kind of by the wayside?
Yeah, I definitely, because I've met so many amazing people here, like definitely on the softball team, outside of the softball team. So that's definitely been like a good thing that I've learned.
Yeah. Now I was talking to Coach Nelson, and I believe it was, I think you were like 15 or 16 when he coined, you know, your nickname Dookie, and it's kind of stuck, I think, ever since. So, and I think I even heard it when they were at Milliken. I think I even heard them. There was like a, you know, as you were going up to bat or doing something like that, it sounded like the girls were, you know, were chanting Dookie. But, I mean, you know, when you first got that nickname, like, what was your kind of your initial reaction? Because it's really stuck. So, I mean, like, have you just kind of embraced it?
Yeah, just kind of embraced it. Because honestly, it's kind of cool. But some of the girls, like, they're like, I honestly forget your name's Alexis sometimes because everyone's just so used to calling me it now.
Yeah, I love it. Now, I mean, you played with him for a long time at Havoc. I mean, just, you know, and obviously you said it was a big reason why you came to Augie. Like, what's his coaching style like? And, you know, kind of the follow-up to that is just around, like, what type of relationship does he build with, you know, with the players and the team?
Yeah, he definitely stresses on max effort. So that's definitely a big thing. And just having an approach at the plate and just creating a good atmosphere on the team. So definitely he's built like a really strong connection with everyone on the team, which has really helped. So I think that's a good thing for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, has that been, I mean, was that also, has it been kind of a nice, like, you know, safety net for you coming in, like a sense of familiarity, you know, coming into, you know, a whole new scene, right? You're in college, new team, next level up in competition. You know, was it kind of nice having him, you know, be a part of that and kind of running that program? And I mean, how was that for you?
Yeah, it was definitely nice. Just knowing his expectations, knowing that every day is going to be hard work and you're always going to have to put in a max amount of effort, and just knowing like how successful he's been with his travel teams, especially at Rock Ridge, because we played against them in conference too. So just knowing that he's going to bring success to anywhere that he goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's he's putting the game plan together and all you ladies are executing it about as best as you can. So, now the other thing I was looking at is like the favorite emojis, and I think it's like the tongue sticking out, it was like the heart eyes, I think the laughing stuff, a little sweat teardrop. Like why'd you pick those emojis?
I feel like those are just the ones that I'm always like just sending all the time. I don't know, just to my friends, just to describe the situation, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's a whole rhyme or reason, behind him.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I asked Marley, I was like, why is the three fire? And she's like, I don't know, it just does the three fire. So that's just like, it's like, exclamation mark. Can't have one, gotta have three. So, the other thing is, do you have your glove with you by chance?
Yeah, I do right here.
Yeah, can you kind of like share it and kind of talk through it?
Yeah, so basically, I just chose like all the Augie colors. And then I just put my name right here. And then I wrote confidence in right here just because confidence is something that I lack sometimes. So it's just something I just need to always remind myself just on the field all the time. And then I just added a cross in here. And I
Nice.
think that's really all I added. Not too much to it.
I took both of my boys this week for the first time to let them pick out gloves, and because they were they had an interest in like baseball, so they're wanting to learn a little bit more, and as so we went and we picked out their gloves and some of that stuff, and I thought it was funny because like I was showing them put my glove in, but like the little white leather area you had on the back of that. Like I always stick my primary pointer finger out. And I've always played that way. And so like my boy's like, well, you gotta have your finger out too, right, Dad? Just like you're doing. I'm like, no, you need to get your hand in there. Like you just need to learn how to close this glove. But when when you get a glove like that, is there like a break-in process that you particularly like to do, or do you just, do you like rub it with oil? Do you, I don't know how the 44 gloves, come, if they have like a pre-break-in process. How do you get the glove? Like in what shape is it? And then how do you generally try and break it in, as the season kicks off?
Yeah, so we rub it with oil too, and then with these gloves, it had like a pre like break-in process, so it's already like partially broken, so which was nice. But I don't really use this glove too much. With my other gloves, they don't have the break-in process, so it kind of takes a while of just like putting a ball on it, keep it closed, and just trying to play catch with it as much as possible.
Yep. And I was telling both my boys, I'm like, all right, you can be sitting and laying in your bed, walking around, have it on, and literally just take your ball and just, I was like, you need to hit it as hard as you can about 1,000 times. And I was like, then it'll be a little bit better. And I was like, I don't want to see that glove sitting without a ball in it, if you don't have it on to keep the shape. Because I thought, because it's like, I know, especially with like youth players, you can sometimes have it steamed and that helps, but I'm like, yeah, but you also like lose some of the shape. And I was always a big fan of, I enjoyed the break-in process as a kid. Just, it was, I don't know, something pure about it. So, did you ever feel like you were like, oh, I got to get this thing, broken right away and want to do it the fastest way? Or did you kind of enjoy the process? Like I think there's kind of two kinds of people that approach it.
I feel like definitely the fastest way. I think I just like hated like waiting of like just like not being able to like close it all the way. It just was kind of annoying sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. God, I still have my old glove from, gosh, I mean, the thing is probably 30 years old now. An old TPX Louisville. I think it's still in great shape, though. Now, word on the street is that thing goes with you. You always have the glove in, like, the front seat of your car. I mean, is there some truth to that?
Yeah, so all growing up, my older brother and my dad, like, they would never let us, like, put our gloves in our bag just because they didn't want it to, like, lose its shape. So we always just wanted to, like, sit out and just, like, not be crushed by any of our other equipment.
Yeah. So how do you deal with that when you're traveling then? It's like when you were going to Tennessee and Florida, like, I mean, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Like, you didn't put it in your back, your bag or anything, did you?
Nope, I just kept it either like on the seat or like on the floor, just kind of sitting out.
I like it. I know we're here to kind of wrap things up. But, you know, really just kind of the last question I have for you, you know, it's still early in the season here for you, but I mean, what's been just some of the kind of best memories or just standout moments so far? You know, kind of in this first half of the season for you and just in your first collegiate year?
I think definitely having our first win against UW-Stevens Point, especially because they were, like, pretty highly ranked, and just making a point to everyone and just showing that we're here and that we're a little underlooked in the preseason.
Absolutely. Well, you got another great challenge Saturday, you know, Whitewater, and but you know, North Central split with them, Wesleyan split with them, so you know, I always say there's no team that's not beatable, and you know, as I think about the success this team has had, how well, you know, you all are playing, just the mix of talent kind of up and down the, you know, the lineup, like, you know, that could be a really big day and some big wins for this team. And, you know, you talk about, you know, confidence, you know, in your glove, like, this team should be super confident that, one, you know, you guys should have the swagger on that field. You know, they should be the ones worried coming in to Rock Island, like, hey, we're playing this team, it's pretty darn hot right now. And, you know, so just because it doesn't have a number in front of it, you know, it's like, I think the Vikings are, I would argue, you know, this team's a top 25 team, you know, kind of all day long. So, and I think the only thing, honestly, that's probably keeping it from that is just, you know, some games that have been, you know, canceled. So just a number of games a little bit. And, you know, we haven't had some of the strength of schedule yet. But I think a big win this weekend is just going to continue to kind of elevate the team and elevate the program. And so best of luck on Saturday. I'll be over calling the men's doubleheader against Wesleyan, but I will be following along over there for sure. Appreciate you coming on. It's been awesome to get to know you a little bit more. So again, be confident. And you'll get some wins on Saturday.
Thank you.